Our scripture for today comes from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae in the third chapter, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Of you who have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways that you once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie with another, seeing that you have stripped off. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices, and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. May God bless this reading of this, his holy word. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you again for this day. Father, we pray that you would help us to create that empty space where we set aside our cares and we listen for what you have to say to us. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So as you well know, we're doing congregational questions, and last week, Tim drew out a slip of paper that said, what it is. And I'm like, what? Who wrote this? And Gary said, well, I did. And I didn't catch up with Gary until Wednesday. And I said, Gary, what it is? And he said, well, I really didn't have anything in mind. I just, you preach on what you want to preach. And I go, oh, Gary, you have opened a can of worms. But you see, before I had talked to Gary, I started thinking about those three words. What it is. And I started thinking, what possibly could Gary mean by that? And I had an idea in my head, and I talked to Gary, and he said, well, talk about whatever you want to. And I, when he told me that, all of this that I had been thinking about, the floodgates just burst. And as I do on certain occasions, I had a conversation with God Almighty, and I said, Lord, you sure about this? And he said, yep. And I said, okay, God, here we go. Now, I'm sure, how many of you have seen Good Morning Vietnam? Okay? Wonderful, wonderful film. Tragic film. But it's a wonderful film, mostly because of all of the ad-libs that Robin Williams did. If you have not ever seen the bloopers, go on YouTube and look at the bloopers. Some of them are a bit blue. It's tragic the way that Robin's life ended, but oh my gosh, what a talent. Now, for those of you that may not know, Robin Williams was playing a gentleman by the name of Adrian Cronauer, who was in the Air Force. He was in Vietnam, and he was a DJ. And part of what Robin would do is he would ad-lib all of these bits, and he did impressions. One of those was a soldier named Roosevelt E. Roosevelt, who was a black soldier who called in to the radio, show. A little later on, Robin did an imitation of Walter Cronkite. And the kind of why, other than Gary writing this out, but this was one of the first things that came to my mind. Walter Cronkite starts out by saying, "I just want to begin by saying to Roosevelt E. Roosevelt what it is, what it was, what it shall be." Which, if I couldn't find anything about this, but I think in like the 70s, it was commonplace within the black community to say, "Hey, what it is, man, what it is." So this, like I said, this sparked a question in my mind. What it is? What really is it that our lives should be all about? What it is? What it should be? Now, I am an avid fan of Formula One racing. Okay, my friend Tom Fagel, bless his soul, and I used to argue because he was a NASCAR man. I was a Formula One man. I'd always tell him when I wanted to get him going, F1 beats the snot out of NASCAR. Well, what are you talking about? Well, let's see. What's NASCAR? Okay, left turn. Left turn. Left turn. No, you don't know. They got road courses. Well, every week's a road course in Formula One. About the latter half of the F1 season, which we are currently getting into, there's always a lot of speculation about driver movement and who's going to be driving for what team and who's going to lose their ride. And it's a period that is full of speculation and rumors. And they call it the silly season. And it seems that during this silly season, it's not the races that are the focus. It's what driver who's coming to the end of their contract, are they going to drive for that team? Are they going to go to somewhere else? The big surprise this year was that Lewis Hamilton, who has been driving for the Mercedes-Benz team and is getting a little old for a F1 driver. I think he's in his late 30s. The big thing was he's leaving Mercedes and he's going to Ferrari. Oh my gosh. We didn't see that coming. And it's all of this. So what I want to talk about today is basically distractions. And there are distractions that keep us as Christians from doing that which we are supposed to be doing, and that is being the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, and the voice of God to the world today. And we get distracted sometimes from this by what we choose to focus upon in our lives. Now, the Oxford Dictionary defines distraction as a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. Now, let's be honest. We all live with distractions in our lives. In late 2005, and again since late 2009, I was working at home because the company moved from Delaware to Texas. And I said, no way are we going. Holly and I said, no way we're going to Texas. Nothing against Texas, but wasn't right for us. Now, while I have a very easy commute since I work from home, basically it is go out of my bedroom, hang a right-hand turn, and I'm in the office. Working from home does present some distractions. Now, in late 2005, the distraction was a one-year-old little boy named Ethan Alexander Moore. Now, I had set up an office in our spare bedroom, and I would shut the door, but for some reason, I left it slightly ajar. And I'd be sitting there working, and all of a sudden, I'd hear, boom! And the door would come flying open, and ta-da! Here's Ethan! I'm not saying that was a bad distraction. It just did take and distract me a little bit. And even while I'm working, you know, every once in a while you see that you have a new email or you have a new instant message. And I haven't learned, and even though I've been doing this for close to 35 years, I can't stop myself. I've got to look and see what is the email, what is the message about. So I get distracted. Now, someone that has been diagnosed with anxiety, which I is, sometimes in order to cope with that anxiety, a person with anxiety goes looking for distractions. Because we don't want to deal sometimes with things that are going on in life. So we go looking for distractions. This is a big, oh, well, let me just do a couple hands of solitaire, and all of a sudden, 20 minutes have gone by. Other distractions can come from when something really irritates us and we lose our focus. And it sends us down a road that we really shouldn't go down. And let me be honest. I love TikTok. I hate TikTok. And to quote my mother, it takes all kinds of people to make up this world. And let me tell you something. There are a lot of stupid people out there. Oh, my gosh. But now, like I said, distractions are a part of our lives. Distractions aren't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, even though Ethan coming down, how long? The hallways was like what, 15, 20 feet? Something like that. Even though Ethan ran that entire length and hit that door for all that he was worth, I didn't mind that distraction. It was nice. Usually it's because he wanted to come in and he wanted to play with, I don't know if anybody knows where the Hess truck is. Every year Hess gas station comes out with a new Hess truck. Sometimes it's a helicopter, sometimes it's a big rig. Ethan loved playing with my Hess trucks. Now, the problem with the distraction is where we become obsessed and we put so much of our energy and so much of our focus into this obsession that it takes the focus away from what it should be. And let me tell you, sometimes all of the stupid people on TikTok really are a bad distraction for me. So what defines a bad distraction for a Christian? Well, to a Christian, a bad distraction is anything that prevents us from giving our full attention to what God teaches and what impact God wants us to have on the world. Okay? I get overzealous sometimes. No, I know. Holly's thinking, no. There are certain things that people espouse that I'm saying, what in the heck? We must be reading a different Bible or something like that. So anyhow. But what is it? What are distractions that we obsess about? Well, pursuit of money, pursuit of power, pursuit of position. Now, let me be clear, okay? Yes, we all have a job. We all have to make money so that we can pay our rent, put food on our table, and give most graciously to the church. There's supposed to be a little chuckle. We all can think of examples of people that are so obsessed with making money, with being promoted in the company, being made a partner, a senior partner, or something like that, because we think that's what's important. Now, the problem with that is in order to do that, you've got to put in time and effort. And the problem with that, especially if you are a family man or a family woman, it's only so many hours in the day. So something's got to give. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, what gives is the family. I couldn't help but thinking about something that my father said to me, or he said to someone else, and I heard it. He says, you know what? I could go out and I could take odd jobs and do all of this stuff, you know, to bring more money into the family, he said, but that would take me away from Jane and from the boys. So a lot of times what he ended up doing is he would do things for the family and he'd take us along so we could spend time with him, and he also could show us, be an example, so to speak, of how we as his sons should live our lives. Another thing that is a distraction that can become an obsession are causes. Having a cause that you're passionate about is not a bad thing. We as Christians, we have a cause. Further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tim's got a passion. For some reason, he wants to go to prison. Gosh, you guys are uptight today. No one. Tim's got a passion. He has a passion to go into Pocahontas, taking thousands of cookies in with him, but talking to the men that are there. And I would go to say he's a little bit obsessive about it, which is not a bad thing. But sometimes we let these causes consume our lives and distract us from what is important. And it's again because we are, a lot of the focus, a lot of the energy we put into this that maybe we shouldn't be putting in as much as we are. There needs to be a balance in life. And speaking of causes, We're in the political silly season. David, don't leave yet, okay, buddy? I'm sorry, I got a kid. Every 2 years, and especially every 4 years, you get a lot of people who are totally obsessed with making sure the right candidate gets in. Now again, don't get me wrong, we as Christians should be concerned about the way that this country is governed. However, and I think everybody would nod their heads about that, there are some people that are just obsessed about it and put so much energy into it that that energy would probably be better spent on other things. And just so everybody's clear, and this is going to be bad for a pastor, I wish we could drop a bomb on DC that would just let it start all over again. Huh? Yeah. We're starting to get too far down that foxhole, and I don't want to get down there. And I apologize. I shouldn't have mentioned the bomb thing. So what do as Christians? Yes, it's good to be passionate. It's good to have causes. It is good, and we have good distractions, the distraction of going to work and all that other stuff, the distraction of getting up at 6 or 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning to go watch your 11, 12 year old young son play soccer in the cold and in the wet. There are good distractions, but how do we make sure that we do not derail ourselves as Christians from what we should be focusing upon? Thus we come to our passage from Colossians. I know I married you for some reason, but I'm pumped. That's just one. So the first thing that we need to do is we have to make sure that our heads are screwed on correctly. We need to start denying the distractions that we have. We need to get our heads screwed on right. We need to focus upon the things not here on earth, but be more focused on the things of heaven. So what does Paul say? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And he goes on to say, look, you have, Christ died for you. Christ has died for you. You died with Christ and you came back as a new creation. You have left behind all the things that are on earth and you now should be focused upon what is in heaven. Set your minds on Christ. What Christ did, what Christ said, the teachings that he gave to us. Now we need to take and reject the worldly distractions upon which we get obsessed about. So how do we do that? Well, we need to destroy the distractions. Put to death for everything in you that is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Now be very careful. I know it says passion in here. I'm going to say that a little bit of passion is good. It's when you get that overwhelming passion where you are obsessed with money or obsessed with a cause or you are obsessed with something else. Put that aside. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. We let ourselves be distracted by the things of the world. We are being disobedient to God and to what He really, really wants us to do. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life, but now you must get rid of all such things. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Holy cow! That's hard. Not impossible, but it's hard sometimes, especially when we have been in, we have formed those habits. Especially those habits where we get triggered. I hate that word. But we get triggered. When something triggers us, I get triggered by some of the things that people say about Scripture. And I'm like, how could you think that? And then that becomes an obsession and I go off and I'm disobedient to God. We need to work on acknowledging those things that are bad distractions and getting them out of our lives, removing those sinful distractions. We need to renounce them. We need to say, you know what? I really shouldn't be doing this. It's not really what I should be doing. And then lastly, as we get rid of all of those sinful distractions, we need to take and we need to put on the clothing of our new self. The clothing that Jesus gives to us. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, Republican and Democrat, male and female, LGBT and cis, all of the labels that we place upon ourselves in Christ mean absolutely nothing. Family and stranger doesn't matter. Sinner and saved doesn't matter to God's eyes. The sinner deserves the same amount of love as someone that is saved. It's just another distraction that keeps us from doing what God would have us to do. So I'm not saying that this is the easiest thing in the world. Following Christ is not always the easiest thing in the world. You know, whoa. Battery ran out. Following Christ is not always the easiest thing in the world. And Christ acknowledged this when he said, you know, it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God. It's hard. It's meant to be hard because it is meant to teach us lessons that we need to listen to. So my friends, it's okay to be passionate about certain things. But may our overwhelming passion always, always be to do that which God would have us to do on a regular basis. Amen.